For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as a division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This morning we direct your attention to a new section of our study in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, sections verse 8 through verse 15. We begin, first of all, with the principle of the error of false philosophies. We'll walk through this verse. This is generally agreed to be the hardest verse that the Apostle Paul ever wrote when it comes to interpreting all the ins and outs of possibilities. But it is a verse that goes to the heart of what is happening in spiritual deception, disorientation, in the most subtle way in our day. I read an article this week about the spiritual religious life of Canada, and it is horrendous. Canada is a semi-communist country now, socialism running rampant, and one of the laws that they just passed recently was that these people who stand protesting in front of abortion clinics may not hold up a sign that has the word killing on it. You must not say that what they're doing in there is killing something. And they say, the judge said, because what they're doing in there is legal. And people would think that something illegal is being done there if the word killing is on their sign. If you come up with a sign like that, the police will come up, take it away with you, and haul you off. Well, it may be legal, you see, but there's the subtlety. It's not God's point of view. It's not right. It's an injustice. It violates the moral code of God because it is not only killing, it is murder outright. And yet here's the government telling people what they may say and what they may not do. People out of the same English culture from which America came, based on personal freedom. Mr. Gorbachev, who was the head of the Soviet Union for a while, says we're not going rapidly enough toward a world government. We need to get together so we can maximize blessings for people. And everybody is saying, hooray. We are now on the verge of another national election. And after all is said and done, after you listen to all the discussions, you suddenly realize there's only two questions. Will socialism have a free hand now and this become a socialist country instead of a free enterprise, private property country? And will the Constitution finally be totally abandoned by saying that its words do not mean what they say, and we wait upon a government judge to tell us what the Constitution is really saying so that it can be reinterpreted and applied so that liberalism can pursue all the desires of the old sin nature? Now, how does this happen to a culture like the United States based upon Reformation Christianity? It happens because of the subtlety of false philosophical concepts, and there is no one standing up in the pulpits and pointing this out and sounding an alarm that people are being deceived, and that we know they're being deceived because the Word of God is very clear and is explicitly accurate. Now, the Apostle Paul, in Galatians 2:7, as you may remember, has been describing the Christ-like life, which is the life that the Christian is to live. Now, he goes on to verse 8. And there he commends the believer not to be He commands the believer not to be victimized by the false philosophies of personable false teachers. the historical background is, as Christianity began thriving in a number of house churches all over the city of Colossae, an important center, and led by its individual pastor, teacher, elder, the city was also flooded with sophisticated philosophical false teachers. They all had a philosophy of explaining life that was contrary to what Scripture taught. Yet you and I daily as Christians face the same religious systems in Satan's world. These would seek to lead believers away from the Lord Jesus Christ and to make us ignorant of church age doctrine and to enslave us to human viewpoint opinion about religious matters. In other words, everything in Satan's world is not only hidden, but outright is designed to make us as unchristlike as we can. And that's what Paul is trying to tell these Christians. Beware of the people that are now speaking to you who are trying to make you as unlike Jesus Christ as they can. They are not the voice of God. They are the voice of God's archenemy, the devil. Now, Christians can lose their freedom in Christ. They can't lose their salvation, but they sure can lose their freedom. They can be carried off as plunder by these religious practitioners for their personal pleasure, fame, and fortune. And they're all over the public airways in one way or another, in very subtle ways. Not the least of which is to suggest to people that they cannot be certain that they're going to get to heaven until after they die. Because salvation is never secure. Because it's not only what Christ does, it is how you live then and how you conduct yourself and what you do. And yet the Word of God says if it's of grace, it cannot be of works. If there's any works in it at all, it's not grace, and then God cannot save you. Christians can lose their freedom on walking in the power of the Spirit of God. They can fall into the legalism of the Mosaic law system. Tim LaHaye and his associate have written a series of books on the Antichrist and the Tribulation era are now coming under enormous attack by Reformed theologians, the amillennialists, and by the postmillennialists. The postmillennialists say that the world is going to get better and better, and finally there will be 1,000 years of history where the Christians will run the world and then Christ will return. That's why it's post after. The amillennialists say there's no millennium at all. A means negative. There'll never be a reign of Christ here upon this earth. The Jew will never have a homeland again, and he will never be the focus of world attention. Well, those books are simply based upon prophetic revelation that Tim LaHaye has written, and Jenkins with him, and it's just exactly what Scripture says. They fill in dramatics, they imagine, they fill it out, but basically they're pretty sound to what Scripture tells. But you see, that's when you take the Bible literally. And the Amills and the Postmills do not take the Bible literally because their systems cannot be found in Scripture. Only premillennialism is in the Word of God. Jesus Christ coming back before 1,000 years after the tribulation 7-year period to set up His kingdom upon this earth. And life will go on, but there will be a world ruler. Yes, Mr. Gorbachev, you're going to get your world ruler and you're going to get your world government. You surely are. But you're not going to be part of it. And it's not going to be the kind of philosophical beliefs that you hold to as a devoted, as he says, I am still a communist. Well, the heretical threat to the Christians in Colossae, Paul views as something which is deliberate and organized. It is a spiritual battle which was in progress in that city for the loyalty of the saints. This city was infested with these false philosophers. Now, the specific details of what they were teaching people is not revealed by the Apostle Paul, and probably because all he had to say was the philosophers, and everybody in the church of the Colossians said, yeah, we know who those guys are. They were well acquainted with what these men were doing. But it was a combination of arrogant human reasoning. We gather that as the book goes along. It was a combination that included legalisms, trying to live by the work systems of the Mosaic Law. It had mystical elements from the occult world, spirit angelic beings being worshipped. We know that from the book. And it had a combination of the element of asceticism, denying yourself, trying to please God by hurting the body, because the body was viewed as evil. The main principle of these philosophical teachers was that Jesus Christ was not God, nor that he was the source of all truth about God and about spiritual things. So they attacked, in the course of this, the deity of Jesus Christ. They made him an angel, the highest of all, and they questioned his sufficiency to be able to save anybody. They challenged that. These speculations, and that's all this was, were later consolidated. After another 200 years, there was a cult of the Gnostics. Gnosticism, which claimed to have deeper spiritual knowledge, which had been revealed to these teachers beyond what had been given to the apostles. For us, it's very hard to even imagine people talking like that and claiming such things. But it was true in the Old Testament, and it's true today. What does Joseph Smith of the Mormons say? Yes, the Bible is true, but it's not the final revelation. God gave me golden plates and gave me the ability to translate languages, and I have translated these plates. And lo and behold, here is the Book of Mormon on it, the final revelation of God. And then God gave me special revelations to me directly. And I had that in another book called Doctrines and Covenants. And I have written down these things that are even beyond the Book of Mormon. That's how we know that a man can have several wives, and he can do all kinds of things, like determine whether his wife goes to heaven or not. That'll make her behave. This is revelation from God. No, nobody does. Yes, they do. And this is a multi-billion dollar religious group that is constantly building temples around the world. And you've seen them. The two boys on the bicycle. They're wearing bicycle helmets now. But there they go. For 2 years, they leave their families. They have to stay together all the time. They can never be separated from one another. And they go about finding homes where they can present the gospel of Mormonism. This is exactly what was happening in Colossae in a variant. It's Satan's game. And the Apostle Paul got the word back from Epaphras, the pastor, who'd come to visit Paul in prison. And Paul said, I know what to say. I'll write a letter to them. So we come to verse 8. Here's the nature of the threat to the Colossians, the threat of a false philosophy. See to it. This is the Greek word blepo. The word blepo is the word for seeing on a general panoramic outlook. And here it means to look the situation over, and he's calling them to be on guard against something. It also has in the Greek the negative particle me, M-E. And this blepo is grammatically in the present tense, which mean that they must be constantly under guard, and it is active. It is their personal responsibility as Christians in Colossae not to swallow the bait of these false teachers. And furthermore, he's not inviting them to do it. This is a command in the Greek. I'm telling you, Christian, you watch yourself and you guard what you think and whom you follow. When somebody decides to cut out from some Bible teaching, expository ministry, and find another church, that person had better be very sure that this is God's work and not in their lives something where their nose got out of joint because they couldn't have their way, and so they have walked out of spiritual enlightenment, out of their right church, away from their right pastor teacher, and it'll be downhill all the way. They'll think they're going to have a marvelous time, but boy, are they going to be shocked at that judgment seat of Christ someday. So here the apostle says, on guard. It is even more dramatic what he is calling their attention to, because here's another grammatical thing. Anytime you have this particle, me, may, to with this present tense, with the command, the imperative, it means that something is already going on. He's not saying, don't let it get started. He's saying, stop it. It's already happening. You are already stopping to look at these speakers, these teachers, and you're considering what they say. Instead of saying, walking off from them and shaking the dust off your feet, you're giving them a hearing. So, first of all, he's saying, I'm giving you a divine command. Neutralize a danger that is already in full swing in your community to you spiritually. This is the same concept that we have in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13 and verse 9. Jesus says, but be on your guard. There it is, the same thing. See to it. For they will deliver you, speaking to the apostles, and what will happen to the followers of Jesus Christ down the years in the tribulation period. He's leaping the centuries here. Be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. Yes, you're going to sound off for the truth, but you're going to pay for it. Just as we pay for today, just as a whole church body, as an assembly, pays for the fact that we hold to a literal Bible, to an inerrant scripture, to premillennial, pre-tribulation rapture, to all the things that the Bible distinctively lines up as church age truth. That is not popular in the religious world today, and it comes under attack. Once the church is gone, the Holy Spirit is gone, so the tribulation is going to be free for the Antichrist to do anything he wants to the believers who are there at that time. They won't be church-age believers. There'll be people who actually believe after the church is gone. They realize how wrong they were, and the result will be that they will suffer now for standing for the truth. 2 John chapter 8 also gives us this kind of warning. Here the Apostle John says, watch yourself. Same thing Paul is saying here, that you might not lose what we have accomplished. What has he accomplished? He's accomplished the fact they've been trained in church age doctrinal principles. They know the power system of living above the dog life that the poor Jew was always held down to in the Old Testament with his rules and regulations, but no power to do right. You have the Spirit of God indwelling you. And when you are in temporal fellowship, known sins confessed, in obedience to the leading of the Lord and the Word of God, and you apply because you know doctrinal principles, that's the power system. That's how Jesus lived the sinless life in his humanity. The Holy Spirit and doctrinal principles. And that is very important. Now, John says, I've accomplished this. You understand the spiritual life. You understand the role of the Holy Spirit. You understand basic doctrinal concepts for the church age. And if you're not careful and you listen to the false teachers, the deceivers, you're going to pay for it in heaven. Woo! How? I'm going to be lost? No. That you may receive a full reward. People don't like to talk about reward. I find that Christians get more antagonistic, even toward a splendidly nice person like myself, when you talk to them about rewards. The heavens is not going to be the same for everybody. Everybody will be saved, but everybody's not going to be as enriched. Here, John says, if you're not careful, you're going to listen to other people, you're going to listen to other religious groups, and they're going to be rah-rah groups, and they're going to have lots of people and lots of programs, and you're going to say, maybe there's something more out there. Maybe the charismatics have something more with all their hand-holding and swinging and swaying and eye-closing and eyeballs rolled up into their head. Something more with God. Watch yourself that you might not lose what we have accomplished, our training of you in church-age truth, so that you may receive a full reward in heaven. If the devil cannot keep you from accepting Christ, he then goes to keep you ignorant of church age lifestyle. If he cannot keep you ignorant of church age lifestyle, then he cannot keep you from doing the Lord's work, fulfilling your mission. And when you fulfill your mission, you're going to be rewarded in heaven. And the greater amount of the mission that you fulfill, the greater will be the reward. So this is the whole point behind it. John is saying, so much that can be lost, be on guard against what? Against spiritual deception. Here it is. In Colossians. Colossians 2:8. See to it. And this is a warning against what something is already going on. See to it that no one, so that no one at any future time, this is the present tense verb to be, it's active, you see to it that no one takes you at some future time. This is a serious danger. It is imminent in Colossae, not just potential, it's already there. They're already being led astray, trying to be led astray by the teachers that are there. This is an urgent way of warning. And you know what's interesting about this combination in the grammar of the Greek Bible? It's the only place it's used in the whole New Testament. Nowhere else is this particular, if the danger is imminent, watch it. This is the moment. That's when the Holy Spirit does that. He has designed something that He wants us to be aware of. Put a star by that verse. He is telling you, don't forget this. I was going by the stand listening to the reading at the grocery store, the Scandal magazine, seeing what's going on in the world. And it had a little story about John Kennedy Jr.'s airplane crash. And apparently on the flight recorder, according to what was being said in the cockpit that they brought up, his last words were, as he realized that he was disoriented, apparently, and was out of disorientation with his artificial horizon on the instrument panel, or even and had no visual horizon to know how to set the attitude of the airplane. He said, I don't think we're going to make it. Now that's this Greek construction. And in the next moment, all three died. I don't think we're going to make it. And that was death immediately. That's the kind of thing that Paul is saying. This is imminent. It's here. You're already flooded with this kind of misconception. And these are wonderful, nice people that are talking to you. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to put their arm around you. They're going to bring you in. They're going to make you part of the group. And you're going to suddenly be a star among them. You're going to have a place in the sun. Not down there like that Berean bunch where they expect you to rise up and amount to something and be a doer of the word and not just a hearer, to rise up to the standard of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the result is, Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, could not have said it more forcefully. Now that's one thing that's a little hard to grasp, makes this a hard verse to interpret. But that definitely is there. And it places the word you in the Greek in what is an emphatic position. That's interesting. It is right there where it just stands out like a red light saying, I mean you personally. I'm not just talking about the group. I'm talking to each of you Christians personally. Before something happens, someone takes you captive. Okay, here's the word. The Holy Spirit enables us to know exactly what he says from the Greek language. Sulagogeo. Sulagogeo. This is from two words. First part comes from a noun. It's the noun sule. That means booty. And second part here is from ago. That means to lead. To lead as booty or as captive. What do you think? Again, what the grammarians call hapax legomena, which means one time only use of an expression. And here's the only time that this word is used in the whole New Testament. Sulagogeo. And what does it mean? It means be on guard that you do not play the fool as a Christian and let someone, some religious hotshot, individual or organization, get their claws in you and draw you off from your best spiritual reality and your finest moment at the judgment seat of Christ. For you to be seduced from the truth of Scripture, the doctrines of the church age, to exploit you and so to enslave you to their rah-rah emotional orientation, even though they're a Bible group, even though they love to gather together to speak about the Bible. But it's all not with the mentality of the soul. I understand, as you're going to understand things here now from this verse, if you don't just see from English and you say, yes, Lord, I'll accept that. And I will act accordingly. But instead, they go for the emotion of the moment, and then they become victims of the lust patterns of the sin nature. He is warning them against being paraded as captives by Satan's human spiritual agents in the angelic warfare. Take care lest there be anyone who carries you off personally as spoil. Spoils of war. And how many Christians do we know indeed who have gone down in the angelic warfare and they've been carried away as spoils of war? A whole life taken down. Not in the hell, because these are believers. They're going to heaven. But the potential of their life in eternal rewards is gone. Take care, lest there shall be anyone who carries you personally off as spoil. This Greek word, sulagogeo, is present tense. It tells us this is a constant threat to your spiritual freedom and to your dedication to doctrine. This is a threat constantly to divert you from church age power system of the Holy Spirit working through you on the principles of grace age truth. That is always the threat. It is an active voice, which means that Satan is actively trying to defeat the believer in the angelic warfare so that he can parade you. You see, this is what was done in the ancient world. When a general conquered in a war, he always brought some of the captives, the enemy, back with him. And then he would get in his chariot, and they would have a big parade for the returning conquering general in the city of Rome. And they would go down the main street with his chariot, with the white horses pulling him, and behind him would come all these captives chained together and walking along the booty of his warfare. And that's what Satan does. He leads Christians along. And in the realm of Satan, they rejoice on how many Christians have been brought down, spiritually incapacitated, so that they will never realize their mission in life. And this is a participle, sulagogeo. It means a life principle, to be robbed of the filling and the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit in your life. So instead of divine good works, for which you will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, there's nothing but human effort. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. That's exactly what he's talking about. That's what he means here in Colossae. It was even worse in Galatians. In the cities of Galatia, they were all trying to live by the Mosaic law again. It was terrible. And Paul says, you've been set free in Christ from all of that self-doing, self-provement, self-merit. Why do you want to go back to that? Stand firm and do not be subject to a yoke of slavery that your fathers couldn't bear. They were all failures under the Mosaic system. Now you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the capacity to be a real man and a real woman in the royal family of God, the church. And you have a life that you can achieve the service of God, and He will never forget it. Christians in the devil's world of religion are threatened by being robbed of the mind of God. They're shut off from God's thinking. So what are we saying? Yeah, it's the pulpit. It's local churches with dereliction in the pulpit. Preachers who do not understand that their job is to study and then to stand up and explain on the basis of that study of what the original languages convey to us, what God is saying to the people of God, so that they will have a frame of reference by which to live their lives. How many problems would just dissolve in your life if you could just do it the grace way? And if you could just be sharp so that when you heard the world speaking, when you heard someone like Gorbachev saying we need to get on with a world government is holding us back, you will know that you're listening to the voice of Satan, not of the wisdom of Christ. And you won't jump on board with that kind of nonsense. The Christian in the devil's world is always threatened by being robbed off from the mind of God, and most of those poor Christians never get it in the first place because nobody's teaching them Scripture. So beware of the religious con artists who can enslave you through your emotional manipulation so that you have his opinions and you have his practices and you think you're doing what God believes. You're doing the work of the Lord. Mark chapter 7 and verse 15. Jesus said, there is nothing outside the man which going into him can defile him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. The evil comes from within us because the sin nature is always there. And unless something overrides that, That's all it will ever be, and sin nature is still in the Christian. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. See, this is a problem with Christians. Christians do not have the discernment to meet these Christians who are in Christian activity services. And they're so nice. They're so cultured. They're so refined. They're so smiley. They're so personable that they do not have the discernment to say, wait a minute, what are you doing? I had a person recently who suggested a project in all great sincerity. And right away I'm alerted, this is a bummer. This is not of God. This is human good. And I didn't even have to think about it very long before it was clear where this poor person was going. Now, a Christian who is trained in the Word of God should be able to spot the false prophets. But if you are the kind of a believer who says, gee, I can only work by emotions, somebody got to jazz me up, fine. Then you can just wonder who's going to jazz you up at the judgment seat of Christ when the tears come rolling down your face and you realize how you have been fooled. Matthew 16, verse 6. Jesus says to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, wait a minute. Do you know who the Pharisees and Sadducees are? These are the religious leaders and the political leaders of Israel. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Sadducees, the political leaders. They are the people of the law, of the Mosaic law. They are the people in the know. They are the leaders. Jesus saying, beware of their leaven. What is leaven in the Bible? It is a symbol for what is evil. And Jesus uses the concept of leaven because of its permeating factor. Put a little evil, a little false doctrine, and it'll permeate the whole body. Jesus says exactly what Paul is saying. Be on guard, folks. Someone will give you a little bit of leaven, and it will be so glamorous, and you look about and say, how many people believe this? Oh, boy, look at all these folks. It must be true. No, that almost is almost certainly something that should put you on guard. The Apostle Paul, meeting with the pastor teachers of the city of Ephesus, goes down to the shoreline with them, down to the dock. He's going to get on board a ship, on his way to Jerusalem. Never going to see him again. And the Apostle Paul knows what's coming. Says the same thing to them that he says, the same concept of warning that he gives to the Colossians. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. He says to these men, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's another word for pastor teacher. To shepherd, which is the job of the pastor teacher. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Pastor, be on guard for yourself. On guard against what? Guard against Satan distracting you, diverting you from your mission of teach the Word, proclaim the Word, diverting you to a mission of building buildings, building a reputation, building programs all over the place, building a huge congregation, but not building God's thinking in the minds of people, which is the job. You watch yourself, and if you watch yourself, then your flock will be able to be watched, will be able to watch for itself, because you will have taught them the principles of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit has made you the PT to do that. Verse 29, I know, Paul says, that after my departure, and I get on board this ship and I sail out of this harbor, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, the church members. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. People are going to rise up out of the congregation itself. People you know, you love, you've worked with. And all of a sudden, you do not have the discernment to know that this person is out of fellowship. this person has stepped out. I'll never forget the shock I had when a man who used to attend church here, after several years' absence, came by. And he has made a mark on Berean Church's ministry that goes on every day in one place or another. And he's still going to get rewarded for that. But all of a sudden, he shows up at prayer meeting. And I didn't know whether it's a good sign or bad. And after prayer meeting, he gave me the literature of a cult group that he has fallen into. Exactly what Paul is saying here. Beware that you do not let somebody rob you of your reward because you step out of the boundary of church age way of grace doctrine and of the power system of the Holy Spirit. These wolves are going to come right up out of your own group. So you should not be surprised at that. And if you have a church which is built on solid doctrine and the people know their stuff because they've been taught, those wolves aren't going to get anywhere. They're going to be pushed back. They're going to be ignored. And when the wolves get that kind of treatment, they disappear. They walk out and they never come back. They go for some other field where they can be a star, where they can be someone in the sun, and where people will listen to their disorientation. Verse 31, therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. I begged you for 3 years in teaching you church age doctrine to understand these things and to not deviate from Christ's in us, the hope of glory, to getting in it human operations where the old sin nature is your hope of glory. I have warned you repeatedly. Do not forget that. And then he sailed off. And those men picked up their gear and they went back throughout those churches in Asia Minor to their churches. And those who took it seriously were on their guard against all the false doctrines coming in like there were in Colossae, and they protected their people because they alerted them. Did they save every one of them? No. Some Christians are going to go down the tube. Some Christians are just dying to put their head in the meat grinder when Satan has the handle. And you can't do more than alert. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul says, make my joy complete. How? By being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Don't be a fractured congregation of believers. All of you get on the same page of doctrine in the church age. Grace, way of life, the power of the Holy Spirit, conducting yourselves as befitting the royal family of God. How? Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. How much of Christian service, how much of Christian work is selfishness? I want to do this. I'll be recognized. They will commend me. This will be fun. This will not distress me. And you begin to have conceit that you're actually changing the records in heaven. That's what was happening in Colossae. It was already underway. The threat was there, functioning. And Paul was saying, if you're not careful, you're not going to make it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. See, the smooth talkers, the people who come with seemingly persuasive arguments, seemingly making sense, and they're not making sense. What they're making is nonsense, and they're far from the truth. But if you listen to them, then you will be the loser. And you see how serious this is and how terrible it is if you've never been trained for the battle. I guarantee you, it would be a terrible thing if you were in the military to be handed a rifle and then thrown into the battle. There's so much you don't know to do, how to do. You're not going to survive very long, and you'll be a goner. One more, 2 Peter. This book about suffering, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Peter says, "This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing you, in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder." Second letter, Peter says, I'm telling you the same thing again, because I don't want you to forget it. I want to remind you, get your minds back on this problem, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by our apostles. You remember what? Old and New Testament doctrine. Don't ever forget the Word. It's the Word and the Word and the Word. That's all the Christian life is about. And from that will flow the service and the service and the divine good and the eternal rewards. Well, that is a serious command. And that's it. It's an order, not an invitation. See to it that no one takes you captive like booty at the end of a battle through, and here's the kicker. This is what he's been leading to, and we've been walking our way through a difficult verse to see that this enslavement of the Christian to spiritual degeneration, and I mean it will be enslavement, is through a thing called philosophy. Philosophia. 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 Supposedly, this means love of wisdom. But what kind of wisdom? And there is the problem of what the Colossians were threatened, and we no less today. We are threatened as individual believers just as much as they were by little concise thinking, concise patterns of conducting ourselves. The American people are being bombarded with a philosophy that is anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-freedom, anti-free enterprise, anti-private property. A viewpoint is what we're talking about. And the Apostle Paul says, this is it now. There's a philosophy going on in Colossae, and I want you to be aware of what it is and where it's going to lead you. Please join us next time to walk our way through that philosophy.